what qualifies me to even be teaching this? And honestly, there's not much other than my own journey and kind of what I've been experiencing. I've never, ever been disciplined. I was that kid that, I mean, it was, we had a cleaning crew, and it took everything within me just to get the clothes off the floor to the bed so that the cleaning crew could vacuum, and then the clothes just came right back off to the floor. I mean, I was that, you know, my mom would I remember one time setting out, we had an intent, she asked us to put this stuff away and put it on the stairs. Go put your stuff away, please. And an hour later, nothing. And she says, if this is not upstairs in an hour, I will throw all this away. And it had, like, it was our Nintendo and, you know, important things to me. An hour later, where'd all the stuff go? Dig it out of the trash can, my mom said, because it, where it was. I mean, I just, getting up in the morning, it was like she had to flick the lights on at one time and then pull covers off of me until I would finally get out of bed. So I, you know, did not have much discipline. And I've got a little bit more because I've been incorporating some of this stuff. But what I did find, there were things in my life that I didn't need discipline for. I would just do them. I remember in high school spending 8 hours a day programming. Why would I do that? I don't understand. Why did I need to find discipline? I didn't need to find discipline for that.
What?
Yeah, writing code. Yeah, I was making video games. You know, I made like a, you know, on with a program called Turbo Pascal for Windows 2.0, I think, on my mom's 386. And yeah, I made a little blackjack game and a maze game that would generate mazes and stuff. But I spent hours and hours doing that because I was motivated to do it. I enjoyed it, you know, those sort of things. So I realized maybe if I could just get motivated, those things of dredging through the discipline stuff, maybe I don't have to work so hard at that. And so 2 years ago, I was listening to Dave Ramsey's radio program, and it was the first of the year. I just had started to, and I had already kind of said, okay, we're going to get out of debt. I kind of made this idea. We're going to get out of debt this year. That was the first year that I also offered FPU, Financial Peace University. So I was kind of checking him out because I heard about Financial Peace University, so I wanted to kind of hear. And he talked about goal setting and all that, and so I decided to try it. And that was in 2011, and then it was like, wow, I accomplished more this year than I did in like the previous 3 years to really move my life forward. And then I did it again last year, and I'm doing it again this year. And that also started me on my journey for motivation. Like, how do I achieve these goals? How do I stay motivated with my lack of discipline? So So then I started, you know, reading stuff. So I read The Power of Habit, The Willpower Instinct, What the Most Successful People Do Before Breakfast, and reading these sort of things. And these were actually scientific, not anecdotal. You know, it wasn't like a rah-rah. This was like, we studied these groups of people and found that this happens when this happens. It was a little more scientific. And I started going, okay, so I started using this in my own life, and so that's what I guess quote qualifies me. And the interesting thing is, I write a blog. Some of you might know that, about finances, and I wrote one a blog entry about staying motivated. And it's like, as far as reads, it's got more than double my next best blog. So obviously, it was people, I guess, liked it or got something out of it, so that was good. And so I'm excited about this. That's what qualifies me. I guess I'm the most passionate on the staff about this stuff, so that kind of gives me the go-ahead. So go ahead, pull out your notes, and I got the fill-in-the-blank thing, because that's we're going to try that. So there's two types of motivation, right? And the first one is, can you guys figure that out? What N might? Negative motivation, right? If I don't do this, this is going to happen. and it's going to hurt. And then there's positive motivation. So negative motivation, like for me, I was not very disciplined with brushing my teeth. Well, brushing my teeth, I was okay. But flossing, I was really bad at flossing. Okay, like once a month or something like that. Really bad. And did not go to the dentist for 5 years, neither my wife or I. And we went to the dentist. I had nearly a root canal. I had two crowns, like two more cavities. You know, my wife had two crowns. I mean, it was like a $3,000 to $5,000 experience. So I found that the financial cost was a good motivator for me to start flossing, and the pain. So I started using that. A lot of people, now I floss daily. A lot of people, it takes that health scare before they start going, oh, maybe I need to change something about my life. That's the negative. Okay, I'm going to die if I don't do this. But at some point, it's got to turn into positive. So what's interesting is after about a year of flossing, I found that when I went to the dentist, and I actually look forward to this, the hygienist always goes, boy, you have got just so great, such great teeth. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. I wish my teeth were as good as yours. I wish, all my patients were, you can come and I'll be your hygienist any day. Now, I look forward to that because that's kind of a cool thing, and I hope that in that and not hearing that I have any cavities is always good. That's not always the case, but that it turned into a positive. Unless you, for instance, you got that health scare. Let's say you found out you have diabetes and you got to change your eating habits. And I've seen this happen. The negative motivation moves you forward toward getting healthy. Then you get things under control. That negative motivation is kind of gone. You're going to go back, unless you've turned it into something good, some positive, like, I really like the way I feel now. This makes me, I like what I'm eating. I like how it makes me feel. Unless you can turn it into that, you're going to go back to your old way, right? Because negative motivation can only take you so far. So the other thing is it's not an eternal thing. Right, and I put in a Zig Ziglar quote there for you. people often say that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it daily. So you gotta find it daily. So that kind of stuff in there. So let's talk a little bit about willpower. As I was listening to. Because I listen to books. I don't usually read them because I found that just works better for me. Just one of the things that you're going to want to do is find what works for you. So I was listening to The Willpower Instinct and a couple others. I found this come up several places. But your willpower is like a muscle in your body. It can get fatigued. Okay, so... Has anybody experienced this where they wake up with the greatest intention? I'm excited. I'm gonna hit the day. I'm gonna exercise at the end of the day. Let's say after work, and then you come home and it's like I don't want to do anything. You've been exercising your willpower all day long, and now it's time to. You're exhausted. It's fatigued, and those things that used to be easy to say no to or easy to say yes to. Suddenly become very difficult and very hard. And there is good news, though, because they have found in these studies that your willpower muscle can actually be strengthened with use. Just like any other muscle in your body, when you use it, it gets strengthened. So as we think about willpower... we're going to talk about a couple different things, but willpower is one of those things that that you're going to end up using every day. And we'll talk more about some tips on how to keep yourself staying motivated and how that'll work in your actual life. Then you've got the other side, which are habits. And habits are very, very powerful, extremely powerful. In the book, The Power of Habit, they use a story, and there's actual several documented cases, but this one in particular, it was an older gentleman who had an injury, head injury, and lost his short-term memory. Completely gone. So, I mean, literally he would have this same conversation with you every 5 minutes. You know, just ask you the same thing. If something caught his attention, it would just all over again. He couldn't remember anything after 1966. Okay? So, since then he had moved. Since 1966 he had moved with his wife. You know, they just, it was really difficult. Situation, and they started testing him and finding, you know, he definitely had no short-term memory. You know, if you asked him anything about anything, he just couldn't remember 5 minutes later. And they thought, well, you know, why don't you try this just for some routine? Go on a walk every day at 10 a.m., you know, go the same route every day and see what happens. And they had done this for months and months and months. And the wife finally one day was running late. She's in the shower at 10 a.m. She gets out, and the husband's gone. And she's freaking out because he's out wandering the streets somewhere. He doesn't know where he lives. He doesn't know much about anything else. So she's going all over the streets trying to find him. A half hour later to an hour later, she finally comes home and, you know, is going to call the police to report that he's missing. And he's sitting there on the couch. And she didn't know what happened. He couldn't tell you what happened. He didn't know why he was sitting there or what he had done. So the next day she decided to do the same thing again. And this time she followed him. And he followed the exact route. Even though he has no short-term memory, he followed the same exact route as before. And went right back to the house that he's never doesn't remember ever living at. And went in and sat down and watched TV. And you could ask the guy, where's the bathroom? And he couldn't tell you where the bathroom is in his house. But if you said, if you had to go to the bathroom, where would you go? He doesn't know why, but he would, I guess I'd try this door. And sure enough, that's the bathroom. There's a habit that takes it out of the conscious and goes completely into the subconscious. I mean, just complete muscle memory. And we all have these habits in our lives that that we don't even realize are there. Little things that we have no idea why we do them or even if we're doing them. They just have become this habit in our life. And so just like that man who has no short-term memory, we have these things that are holding us back that we don't even know. Or they could be good or they could be bad. So every habit has a trigger and a reward. They used, as a case study, they used Pepsodent. Some of you might remember Pepsodent. Prior to Pepsodent, 12% of households had a tube of toothpaste in their medicine cabinet. 12%. It just wasn't a big deal. And they got this marketing mastermind to try and do something with it. What can he do? And he tried to appeal. He said, you know, you can try this. Run your tongue over the top of your teeth, the outside of your teeth. Feel that film? This removes that film, right? That was his marketing genius, he thought, right? Appeal to people's vanity, I guess. You know, and he had smiley white teeth and all that stuff. Well, you could do the same thing by just eating an apple, by the way. And every other toothpaste on the market did that already. So there was nothing new. What they found, though, years and years later, decades later, is they found that it wasn't the marketing, it was habits. There was a trigger and a reward. So what they found was Pepsodent had done something different. They had put an effervescent quality in there. So it bubbled when no other paste had done that. It kind of had bubbled, and then it left this taste in your mouth. Every single toothpaste on the market does that, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't have to. You do not have to have bubbling, and you do not have to have the minty taste. But as people did it, they had tried it. Maybe vanity is what got them to start it. But they do it, and then there's that taste, that reward at the end of what you did, which is the clean feeling in your mouth. And they found, boom, there's your reward. And without it, it fails. People won't do it. So whatever got them motivated to start it, the habit was formed because there's that thing in there. Same thing with Febreze. Febreze was marketed as an odor remover. It had no scent to it or anything. And people were not using it. There were a few people like that worked with skunks and things like that, you know, and they were like, you've changed my life. And those were, but everybody else was like, they found that they didn't even notice that their house stunk. They just didn't know because you get used to it. And so they didn't really think that their house stunk, so they weren't trying to remove any odors anymore. They found, though, that they had to use the power of habit, because one lady would kind of, she just says, I like to make my bed and do everything, you know, in the room. And then I just spray a little at the end. And I kind of feel like it's done now. And so they went, ding, trigger reward, let's do that. And so they put the little bit of a scent in there. And now it's like sort of like that. They started marketing as a thing that you do to kind of really bring your everything to the pinnacle, you know? It's finally done. It's got that scent and everything smells good. And now they've gone back to marketing as a deodorizer because other products have come up. But it's a trigger and reward. And so my challenge to you is for you to start looking at what kind of triggers you have. And then what those rewards are. So I guess we can anybody think of anything right now? I mean, I have got plenty of examples because I've been doing this. But did anything just kind of pop up in your head like, oh, that's why I do that? Or some sort of trigger and reward thing that you might want to share with the rest of us that you could be good or bad, that you might recognize in yourself? Here, I'll start by sharing my example. As I was reading this stuff and I was going through, we were having a particularly difficult time getting the kids to bed, and my stress level was kind of going up. And I at this time, I was trying to eat healthy and you know, kind of really, I was counting calories and all that stuff. I was very militant about what I was trying to do at that point. And I found that I would walk into the bath, I mean, into the kitchen. I'd open up the cupboard, and I had a few, Reese's Pieces. That was my thing of choice. I was ending my day with those, you know, like that's kind of my reward for being good for a whole day. And it wasn't that many. But then I would grab a handful and throw them in my mouth, and just keep going, and then go back and try and deal with the kids. My trigger was that stress. I realized, and this is a common occurrence, especially for women, sorry, ladies, but me too, apparently. You get that stress, and you just, like, you need that thing. It's like, okay, I'm just going to eat some of these candies, and there we go. I feel better because I got some sort of reward. Okay, anybody else? Is that triggering anything?
Example was out of a stressful situation.
Yeah.
This doesn't relate to that. When I was in sales, I used to reward myself for doing stuff that I didn't like to do. But that, I mean, it was more work related. It wasn't this.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about a trigger.
Right. So exactly.
Yeah. Quite fit into that. Something that's more mindless, because that was definitely on a conscious level.
Something and take a bite and not even realize I've done it.
Yes.
Until I'm halfway through.
Yeah. So that's your mindless thing. You don't even, that's the trigger, honestly, is walking by the cupboard now becomes your trigger because you had established that pattern. And then all of a sudden you're doing it and you don't even realize why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can think back to myself and go, oh, I was so good today. I had this for breakfast. I had this for lunch. I had this for dinner. And then all of a sudden I go, wait a minute. I had a cook, you know, I think I had cookies in the afternoon. I did not even know it at the time.
Right.
You don't even recognize it at the time.
Two from the mind that are just kind of common, I think, is turning on the TV and wanting to eat something while you're watching TV. That's it. We love to eat popcorn, so.
You've established it. You cannot sit down and watch TV unless you're going to be eating something. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. My reward system of letting myself, I'm just gonna have, 20 Reese's Pieces. I'm gonna eat them real slowly while I watch TV. That's what I would do. Yeah, 20 Reese's Pieces. Eat them slowly. Not the candy bars. The tiny little ones. We're talking 100 calories tops. I did that for 6 months straight. Guess what? I cannot sit down and watch TV or sit down at the end of my day. I cannot just be good with dinner. There's something I have to cap my day off with, and that's some sort of, So now I got to break, or that's good because you just brought me to my next point. Don't stop your habit. You got to replace it, okay? You got to replace the reward. That was one of the things that they found with Alcoholics Anonymous. What made it so good? They couldn't figure out because psychology and all these different things they've been trying. What in the world is it, the 12 steps? Is it the God thing, which I think is definitely a factor? But one of the major factors that they found was they replaced the reward. The trigger was still there. They couldn't stop the trigger. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to not do that now. Because you got to, some people, maybe if you've got extreme willpower, you probably could. But they replace their reward. And it's kind of a subtle thing. You might not realize it. But when you feel like you want to take a drink, if anybody knows anything about Alcoholics Anonymous, what are you supposed to do? Do you know? You're supposed to call your sponsor. You're supposed to go to meetings. Why do they say 90 meetings in 90 days? Is that what they say? Something like that? You're replacing that trigger with something else that you really long for, which is community. You know, you get that thing, or you get to share that experience with somebody else. That's the trigger replacement. Now, that's just kind of a little bit about habits. It's just to kind of make you aware of what it is that you, what it is you do and why you do it. especially when it comes to habits. So, I have some tips to staying motivated. I'm trying to figure out the time here. Let me see. How much time do I got left? 12:05. Wow. I've got... All right. All right. So we're going to zip through here now. All right. So these are just things. Here's the deal about me. I don't ever tell you to do something that I myself have not tried and did not work for me. That's the downside. There's probably things out there that will work for you that I haven't tried. Or don't work for me, okay? So you're going to have to find your own things that work for you. But it's simple. You just, when you're trying to get motivated to do something, some sort of goal you set, whatever it is, when you find the times that you find the motivation, make a note of that and replicate it, okay? So that's basically your, in a nutshell. So the first tip is to pray. If you're losing your motivation or your passion, just pray for God to make you passionate about it again. Pray that, you know, also pray on the other hand, if this is not something you need to be doing, if this is not a something that God wants you to be moving forward in, you know, perhaps it's some sort of career goal, I don't know what exactly, but pray that God will reveal that in some way as well. So prayer is a double-edged sword, because you can ask for God to make you passionate about this thing that you want to accomplish when you're losing the motivation. But on the other hand, if you're not supposed to be doing that, you can ask him to take it away too. So prayer, you know, it kind of seems like I'm supposed to say that, right? But yeah, we're supposed to say that. We're in church. But no, it works. I mean, that's one of my new prayers, you know, for one of my goals, is I'm just, in order for me to achieve that goal, and just to be honest with everybody, I'm praying, God, put a passion in me to hunger and thirst for you. Okay, that's my new prayer. Because I don't have that motivation, you know, to the level I need to accomplish the things that God's calling me to at this point. So that's my prayer, you know. And so I'll keep praying that as long as I need to. So your willpower is greatest in the morning. I was talking about this. Another way to look at willpower is a battery. You get to it recharges at night. So you start all over again. You get like a fresh start. So you're more likely to make good choices in the morning, okay? So, and toward the end of the day, your willpower is going to run out, and you end up making bad, bad decisions, right?
So go to bed at noon.
Go to bed at noon. Now, if your thing is, I don't have the discipline to go to bed on time, that makes it really difficult, doesn't it? So we might have to figure that one out. That's where the power of habit will come in handy, where you're going to have to use some willpower for a while, and then the habit will take over. But yes, that's actually one of mine. If my wife went away last weekend, I stayed up till 1 in the morning, because I don't ever do that, so I'm like, yay, you know? So I just lost all discipline that day and stayed up till 1 in the morning. But my trigger is, I go to bed when my wife goes to bed. My wife is very disciplined about going to bed on time, always has been, so I get to use that as a kind of a crutch so I get 8 hours of sleep, which I do, which is very important. Willpower is greatest in the morning, so what's that?
She took the kids with her when she went out?
No, I had the kids. Yeah. Yes, I was not that exhausted, I guess. So you're going to run out of willpower. So I do my prayer, my exercise, what I'm going to eat, all of that before I go to work, okay? So, because those are things that I find important. For me, you know, deciding what I eat ahead of time is critical. Because when I've got my day off, it's kind of a weird thing. You kind of are trying to figure it out, and I don't particularly like making meals, so I might eat whatever is more natural to just kind of, which is not usually the good stuff, natural to just kind of eat or snack during the day, that kind of a thing. I plan it out ahead of time. So if eating is one of your things, yeah, plan it out ahead of time. If quiet time is one of your things, do that in the morning. Don't try and wait till at night. If you are trying to exercise, yes, do that. That's in a book called What the Most Successful People Do Before Breakfast. You'll find that. And, you know, whatever it is that you find that you want to, you know, you've got the motivation for in the morning but don't seem to have later in the day, do that before you leave for work. Something triggers, I think, when you go to work or whatever. It just makes it harder. When you get motivated to do something, this is out of my blog post that I did. Do it. Don't wait. Don't like make some sort of like, I'll do it next week.
Don't wait for the feeling to pass.
Yes, exactly. Capitalize on it. If that second, and it might be fleeting, that second you're going, I want to get off the couch and get on the treadmill. Do it right then, because it's going to go away real soon. Yeah, exactly. If you think, I really want a clean car, yeah, you're about to get out. You know, if you can, do it right then. You know, if you're like, I'm sick of this mess, do something about it right now, because you'll start to be okay with it after in just a couple minutes. One of the warnings I throw out there is it's going to take a lot less willpower to get the project started than it will to finish it.
No bathroom remodels.
So make sure you what's that?
No bathroom remodels. Hey, I should change it.
Try and do something that you can actually either finish or has natural stopping points. Don't just, because I've seen this before, you know, don't be like, okay, we're going to tear this wall down, we're going to put in a new thing, and then, you know, just hammer out the wall, and then you're like, I'm kind of done. And then it's just, you've got holes in your wall for the next, you know, 2 weeks. So get inspired. That's the next one, which I didn't put fill in the blanks there, but get inspired. So figure out what inspires you and keep that going. For me, I listen to audiobooks and podcasts, things that can inspire me. For you, Doug, the book Entree Leadership will tell you, how do you get that team that you've always wanted? It'll tell you, don't call them employees. Call them team members. Things like that. How do we get this from being a... how do you get your employees from seeing it as a job to seeing this as something much bigger? You know, and so that's a good one for you. You know, those are things that have inspired me on the leadership side. You know, Andy Stanley's leadership podcast is really good. Entree Leadership. Yeah, so it's like entrepreneur and leadership together. So Entree Leadership. Dave Ramsey. You can't miss it if you type in Dave Ramsey too in the search engine. So that's a good one. I listened to that on, I bought the book too. But there's a bunch of really practical things about business in there as well.
Do you listen to this while you're driving, while you're exercising, while I'm reading?
Yes. Yes to all. Yes, exercise. Yeah, when I used to jog more or cycle more, I would kind of have that kind of going. Driving, and then there's certain things I can do, and actually kind of listen and do them. These are the things that I've become more habitual in my life, as far as work things. So there's a couple. There's about a few hours a week that I actually have that I can listen. And do a different job. It's not here. I can't do that here because I have to use my brain too much. New life. It's another job. But there can be movies and TV shows that might really inspire you. Just recently we were inspired to make a change in the way we eat by watching something called Hungry for Change and Food Matters. And then even something called Fresh that we just recently watched. I do like watching The Biggest Loser because it kind of gets me kind of excited about that. So get inspired. Figure out what that is. And when you're inspired to do something, take note, like I said earlier, and then keep it going. You know, if you need like that general kind of motivation, you know, you've got like those other, you know, I don't know anything about Tim Robbins. I've never listened to him, but I'm sure he's got stuff. You got Zig Ziglar, who has now passed, but he's been doing that stuff for a long time. And you could just listen. He recommends you listen 14 times to the same thing over and over again before it actually starts sinking in.
He based a lot of stuff about Christian principles. Ziglar
does, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Oh, and then, get inspired. Set goals for yourself, all right? I got another Ziglar quote. Goals are dreams we convert into plans and take action to fulfill. Okay? Where there's no vision, the people perish. That's from Proverbs. And there's actually a lot more. Let me see if I have those that Ron is going to share tomorrow. I stole his for my next session. So like the one I think is really good, Proverbs 21:5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. That's in there. You know, got to plan. Got to, you know, set goals for yourself and then work to fulfill them. And then, I didn't put it in here. But you're going to want to write this down. I use the SMART method. Okay? SMART. For goals, yeah. I left you, you can write it under changing your thinking if you want or anywhere you can find. But write down SMART. S is specific. M is measurable. A is attainable. R is relevant. Five. T is time bound. Right? You guys know some of this probably. You've heard maybe this before. Time bound. Yeah, you got to have a time frame for it. Okay, and I'm. For instance, here's just a quick example. I want to lose weight. Okay, not very specific. Let's go through our SMART. Measurable. It's measurable, right? We can measure it. Is it attainable? Lose weight? Yeah, I guess it's attainable. Is it relevant? Probably, maybe. Depends on, you know, if you're anorexic, then no. I already did relevant. Is it time bound? No. It's not going to happen. I mean, it might happen, but we don't know what. If you've accomplished your goal, I guess lose weight, you lose 1 pound, you guess you've accomplished your goal. But when is it going to be done? You know, all of that. So if you say, I want to lose 15 pounds in 3 months, let's say, you've just all of a sudden met all your criteria for SMART. And all you did was just put a number on it and a time on it. So there's, you know, I want to be a better dad. What is that? That's not very specific. I guess that's not really measurable. But say, I want to compliment my child daily for the next 30 days. Compliment my child once. Okay, you're going to probably achieve your vision of being a better dad a little bit in one area. But you've got something now very specific, something that you can measure. You can check it off on the board. I did it today. So those are the ideas that keep you making good goals and actually being able to achieve them. And then just write this down. There's 7 areas in life. This is called the Wheel of Life.
Goals.
These are the 7 areas that I've been setting goals for myself for the last 3 years now. Career. A career goal. Financial goal. Spiritual goal, physical goal, intellectual goal, a family goal, and a social goal.
1,000 friends on Facebook.
Yeah. And then, yes, exactly. That's a goal, I guess. Your social goal. Well, yeah, see. And then I give you guys some resources down here at the bottom. If you look, just basic motivational resources. And then I've got the Wheel of Life resources. Okay? And so these are things that I've read, with the exception of Sacred Marriage. I haven't read, but it is core curriculum. So it must be decent. And I don't have, like you said, I don't have social down there because I don't know what you're going to do there. But an example, oh yeah. I'll go into more detail in the next one if you guys want to stick around for the goal setting. But I got to wrap it up, but I did want to show a video. I really like this video, and maybe this is like a guy video a little bit. But it's an example of what we can accomplish in the right context, you know, when we have the right external motivation, when we don't let our pessimism change our thinking, sorry, is the last one there. And even Kevin taught about this recently, saying that confession is saying or believing about yourself what God says and believes about you. Your stinking thinking can kind of just, can actually sabotage you, really. So this kind of touches that a little bit. So as long as we don't let our pessimism sabotage what God can and wants to do through us, you're here because you've got some sort of leadership quality that was recognized in you, right? That's why you're here. It's why you were invited. And so your outlook on ministry, career, children, marriage, and so forth, will set the example for those you lead, which is what Ron was kind of talking about. That as so goes us, so goes the church, you know. In whatever it is, that example moves forth to who you lead. So my two questions for you are, what examples are you setting? And what are you really capable of? Because sometimes we sell ourselves short. So this is just a movie clip from Facing the Giants. So you know the clip. You know what I'm going to say. Yeah. So again, check out this clip. I just find it awesome. So
your attitude's like the aroma of your heart. If your attitude stinks, it means your heart's not right.
You sure is preaching today.
Mm-hmm. What?
How's your attitude, Brock?
It's fine.
Then you'll be okay with the death crawl, right?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, everybody on the goal line. Get your partner. Let's go. All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Move it. Let's go. Let's go, Matt. Let's go. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There you go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
Oh, man, it's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you could go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm by his strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going, you hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
Let's go. 50. Let's go to the 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Oh, tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
God deserves our very best, and a lot of times we sell ourselves short. And so I just I hope that encouraged you to go out there, reach for some of those goals, and get you motivated to do something. So hope you learned something. Hope you are inspired to accomplish what God's calling you to. And that was called Facing the Giants. It's a Christian movie, and so there's some other aspects, good spiritual aspects in that movie all throughout, but that's probably the most played clip. Anyway.
For a small fee, I can rent it to you.
Nice. Anyway.
We have to
All right, well, our time is up, but thank you guys. Go with God. Let me pray one quick prayer. God, when we're ready to give up, when we're ready to just throw in the towel, God, I pray that we can hear your voice saying, you can do it. Yes, you can. Give me all you got. And God, that we can just put one foot in front of the next to accomplish what it is that you've called us to. So God, we take this responsibility of leadership seriously. And so God, I pray that you would just move in us as we seek your vision for our lives moving forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.